We're sitting in our warehouse in Yarraville. It's 11,000 square metres warehousing space, and behind me there's around 1,800 pallet spaces full of food, and we're distributing out to 450 welfare agencies across the state.
Where does the food come from?
The entire food chain. So we're rescuing food from farm gate through to processor, manufacturer, importer, wholesaler, exporter, retailer. Wherever there's edible food that may be going to waste, we try and rescue it and then redistribute it to people that don't have food.
And so what's the kind of the breakdown? Do you get most of it from the retail sector? Do you get most of it from wholesalers?
Predominantly it's coming from the wholesale before it hits retail, and that's where we work at scale by the pallet load, but we do get product from retailers as well.
And why is it sent to you? Why are people giving you this stuff?
Number of reasons. So some manufacturers donate to us because they love what we do. There's also issues with date code for a lot of organisations. So if a product doesn't sell as well as was forecast or anticipated, it hits a certain lifespan. And so it still has code on it, what they call date code, but it's not enough time for the retailers to sell it. So that product's donated to us. So that's either getting close to its use-by date or its best before date.
And what about the farming side of things? How much do you get from farmers?
Last year was around 1.5 to 2 million kilos of fresh produce, and that was rescued either from farm gate, from packing shed, or off the wholesale market floor in Epping.
And what's the mix? Is it mostly fruit and veg, that kind of thing?
Well, we sit at around 20% is fruit and veg, and the bulk, the 80%, is shelf-stable. Mm. And so last year was the equivalent of 9.5 million kilos of food that was rescued directly, and then an additional, I think it was close to 2 million kilos or 1.5 million kilos that we helped facilitate the rescue of.
Mm. And you mentioned that even grain farmers, they can just donate wheat, is that right?
Yeah, so we have a program called Collaborative Supply, and that's recognising that we work in an industry that we have no control over the product that we get in, but we have our agencies work with people that have specific needs and concerns. And so we, on a regular basis, interview or survey our agencies, and we find out who the people are that need food and what the food is. So that identifies things like pasta as being one of the key staple products that families need. So we work with our partners in the industry. And so, as you said, pasta, we get grain growers donate wheat. That gets turned into flour for us at no charge. That gets shipped to Victoria, Melbourne, at no charge. And then it's we pay for the electricity. That's turned into pasta. Packaging gets donated. And for 12 cents, we manufacture a packet of pasta on the supermarket shelves around $1.20.
How important is the idea of getting local produce in?
Oh, incredibly important. We're all about ensuring that there's healthy food for people. We're also in the waste business, so we're trying to minimise waste. What we've found is that the most disadvantaged in our community also have the worst health outcomes because they're forced into a diet of cheap food, which is nutritionally poor but energy dense. So we're trying to, I guess, balance that scale by focusing our efforts on rescuing fresh produce so that we can provide nutrition-dense food, which also has an energy component to it, just to even up that scale.
And where does the demand lie? Do you see a lot of need or a lot of demand coming from regional areas, or is more of it in the metropolitan areas?
Based on demographic, there's more people in the city, so the need's quite high in metropolitan Melbourne, especially around peri-urban fringe. However, over a third of our agencies are based in regional Victoria, and our history dating back to 1930 has always meant that we focus on regional issues, so droughts, floods, fires, etc. At the moment, we're getting daily phone calls from dairy families direct to us looking for food assistance. That's something we haven't experienced since the millennium drought, where we're getting direct phone calls for assistance. So we look at ensuring that we understand regional needs and can focus our attention appropriately to assist. I guess one of the ways that we do that is when we have programs that we're able to run. So the state government, current state government school breakfast program, we made sure that where we were purchasing food that was going to help school children, that we tried to make sure that food came from Victorian manufacturers. In the initial instance, to try and get this program up and running quickly, we worked to try and get Victorian food, and our assistants, the companies that we're working with, tried to get Victorian food, but unfortunately, milk, for example, in the first run had to come from New Zealand. We've now rectified that because our intention was always to focus on Victorian manufacturers. So the milk now comes from an organisation in Shepparton called Pactum. And I guess when you look at us, we're trying to fit in with supermarket demands, and they account for 90% of the food in the country. So trying to put our demands in against supermarkets, we come second. And so we have to forecast a long way ahead to make sure that we can get into production cycles to get the food that we want. So we've been working for about 6 months to try and get Victorian milk, and it took us that long to find a producer and fit in with cycles. And we're doing the same with baked beans now, SPC.
That's Dave McNamara. He's the CEO of Food Bank Victoria. He mentioned the school breakfast program. Well, Pete Swears is the manager of that program. He says he thinks it is helping to feed more children who would otherwise go hungry when they get to school.
So when the program began, my team and I went right across the state to visit the 500 primary schools involved. And from those conversations, we were able to ascertain if the school had a program already, a breakfast club already. And in that case, it was quite easy to know how much they needed. And if they didn't, we were able to help them estimate, you know, how many days a week they might run it. Every school is different, obviously, and different size, and how many students might come. And from that, we were able to plug something into our system here to generate an order. And then we have volunteers come to our warehouse and pack the pallets, and then we send them out right across the state, once per term in most cases, unless there's a really big school, and we'll send it twice per term.
And are there standard kind of items per school? Does everyone get the same food?
Very much. We have a philosophy that it's what we do for one, we do for 500. It's the only fair way to go about it, we feel. So we've got a standard menu that we started with this year. It's UHT milk. Vitabrix, canned fruit in natural juice, oats that can be cooked for porridge, and baked beans. Yeah, and we'll look to develop that as time goes by, but for the first year we really just wanted to nail things down.
And has it been hard to get that range of food, and I guess to keep the supply coming so that you can rely on continuing to send it out?
It was in the beginning. There's quite a lot of competing demand, especially for Victorian produce. But now that we've got those relationships established, yeah, we're confident we can keep them well into the future without a problem.
Have you faced any issues where, you know, kids might not want to turn up because of that stigma of, you know, getting a free meal and that side of things?
It was definitely a consideration when we were setting this up. So our policy that we've made really clear to all the schools involved is that this is an open program. Please invite the entire school, and the entire school won't turn up, but please let it be known that this is an open program. And we have heard from some schools that there was, in some cases, students were too embarrassed to come forward, and this has enabled them to do it without having to ask. So that's been a positive as well.
And what happens from here? Is it got ongoing funding, is that something that you need to address in the future?
No, look, the current government's graciously funded this until mid-2019. Which has been, I must say, the schools have had a really good response to that as well. It's not just a one-year program. They know food's going to be in the cupboard for the next 3 years, which has been great. After that, we'll see what happens. We absolutely would love to see this continue and even grow. To aid with that, we're doing a really strong monitoring and evaluation program with Victoria University, trying to ascertain exactly what the benefits are, so that we can, obviously, we'd love to make a case to see it extend in the future.